Esther chapter 4, amen, and verse 14. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. Praise God. They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Protected. Look at your neighbor and say that. You are protected. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Feast of Purim is based on the story of Esther. Amen. It's not anything that we haven't ministered and taught. Amen. In years past. But its origination is found in the book of Esther. Amen. Specifically in chapter 9. You can go there and read it yourself. It was decreed by a man named Mordecai. Hallelujah, but it was set in place by divine providence, amen, decreed by Mordecai, but established and set in place by divine providence. It was established to be celebrated on the 14th and the 15th day of Adar each year. Now, Adar is on the Hebrew calendar, on God's calendar, amen, that falls in alignment with our month of March, amen. So this is aligned with God's calendar, and it falls on March 2nd and 3rd this year on our calendar. So tomorrow evening at sundown, amen, begins the Feast of Purim, and it continues until sundown on Tuesday, amen. Now, in light of everything that's happening in the Middle East and all that's taking place, amen, concerning the United States and Israel and Iran and all of the things that are happening, I'm a person that does not believe anything is coincidence. Why? Because God doesn't do anything coincidentally. There's no word for that in his language, amen. So I find it interesting, amen, that all that is transpiring, amen, in the last day or so, amen, is right on the brink of the Feast of Purim, amen. And we'll talk about Purim this morning as we get into the message, amen. But tomorrow evening at sundown until Tuesday at sundown. Also, it's interesting that I don't think it's anything coincidental, amen, that tomorrow evening, amen, tomorrow night and the evening sets and as the moon rises, amen, it's going to be a full blood moon, amen, that's going to be in alignment there, amen. So there's going to be a lot of people, amen, gazing at the heavens tomorrow evening, amen, looking at this blood moon, amen, all of this stuff is taking place, amen, and Jesus told us we would never be signs in the heavens, and I'm not saying that that is a particular sign, but when you look at all the patterns and you see things line up, you have to go, thank you, Jesus, amen, that you are about to come and take us out of here, amen, that your word is truly coming to pass, amen. So we see, praise God, that I believe that the work of God, amen, is among us, and that what that does is that should give us courage, that should give us faith, amen, that should strengthen us, amen, in these times of uncertainty when there's so many questions and there's so many things that come to mind that we don't have answers for, amen. Praise God. But when we look at the story here in the book of Esther, we're not going to go over so many details and so many things and directions. And we went so many different directions, amen, in teaching about the book of Esther. But what we need to understand, the context of what's happening here, is that Judah has been taken captive in Babylon, amen. And they were taken captive for, amen, for both punishment of idolatry and to let the land enjoy its Sabbath. They were there for 70 years, amen, as a matter of fact. And so when we look at what was happening here and we understand the mindset and where all of the people were positioned, amen, they had been taken out of their country and brought into, amen, a pagan country, a Gentile country, where the worship was different, amen. And we see this in the book of Daniel. We see all of these things, amen, that we can get a picture of what was going on. But their captivity into Babylon, even though it really was, amen, a punishment and also and for their idolatry and also a time to let the land rest and to enjoy its Sabbaths, it was really a refining process to purge the idolatry from their hearts. Amen. But also it was to prepare them for a renewed relationship with God. I cannot stress enough, amen, how important it is that we understand that God wants a relationship with you and I. That is His desire to fellowship with us. God doesn't want us to go to church, but God wants us to have a relationship with Him. Amen. To fellowship with Him as He has created us to be. And this was the whole purpose of the law when God instituted the law unto the people of Israel. It was to make them aware of their sin and to allow them to be able to have a method and a way to come into His presence so that they could experience just a taste of that fellowship. But we know that God knew that this was only a temporary thing. Amen. He had established a priesthood with man who was, amen, flawed and who was, amen, was full of flaws himself. Amen. And it could only last for a while and the blood of animals. But we know that God had a better plan. I would that you would look at your neighbor today and say, God's got a better plan. God has a better plan. I need somebody to understand that this morning, amen, that even though it looks like, hallelujah, that things will never shift, you have to know that God has a better plan. It may not be working out the way that you have visioned it in your mind or the way that you feel it should work out, but I tell you, God has a better plan. And that better plan for mankind, for man's redemption, to restore that fellowship back to Him, was to, amen, bring His Son, Jesus, to earth, the Word wrapped in flesh, that now became our high priest forever. And He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession. He's that living testimony that we can draw closer to God. He's that living testimony, hallelujah, that where you are right now is not where you have to be content. That where your life is right now this morning isn't the final, hallelujah, chapter. But because Jesus is alive and seated at God's right hand, that living testimony, that eternal high priest and king, hallelujah, you do not have to settle for the way things are today. Touch another neighbor and say, don't settle. Hallelujah, come on, don't settle. Praise God, God is working even though you don't see it. So He was preparing them for a renewed relationship with Him. Jeremiah prophesied of this, so it was known that God was behind it. Jeremiah prophesied that their exile would happen. He prophesied that their captivity, amen, into Babylon would take place. So they knew God was behind it. So God was there in the beginning. Hallelujah. I want you to understand me today. Isaiah prophesied of their return. Isaiah prophesied that even though Jeremiah had spoken and said they will be taken captive, amen, into Babylon, Isaiah prophesied that God would not let it last, that God would have mercy. mercy, and he would have and extend grace and favor upon those who were faithful. Somebody hear me in this place. Hallelujah. So they knew when it happened that God had done it. So God was there in the beginning, and God was evident in the end. See, this wasn't just some historical event, but it was a divine act of grace and discipline. Amen. I want you to understand today that sometimes God permits us to enter into seasons, amen, that we may not understand. Seasons of silence. Seasons, amen, of darkness. Seasons of a wilderness. But you have to be able to understand that if God was there in the beginning of it, and he's there at the end of it, hallelujah, that it is, amen, an act of his divine grace and discipline, that he sees something in you that is better than what is being revealed at the moment. I'm thankful today that God sees that I can be better. I can be a better husband. I can be a better father. I can be a better friend. I can be a better shepherd. I can be a better leader. I can be a better child, a covenant child of God. God sees that I can be better, and he's not content in me staying in, hallelujah, that one place, but his desire is for me to grow so that my relationship and fellowship with him can also grow and extend into that fullness that he desires for each and every one of us. Say with me today, this very thing, it literally shaped the course of Israel's history, but it pointed to God's redemptive purposes for man. God's always doing something ahead of it. He doesn't just do something for one purpose. I've learned that. That if he's working and doing something in the now, there's already something coming up behind it that he has established. There's something in the future, amen, that is going to point to something greater, right? That's what he told them. Hallelujah, that amen, when he gave them all, Paul, amen, teaching in the New Testament, amen, making them understand that what God did, God knew that was only going to be a temporary system, but he already had a plan in action, and he was doing everything that he did to point, amen, to that plan, and that plan was Jesus. So that's why when you go back to the book of Genesis, amen, and you read all the way through the book of Revelation, amen, the entirety of what we have, you're going to find Jesus woven throughout all of it, amen, that he didn't just show up, amen, praise God, in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He just didn't show up, amen, like, surprise, somebody's here. God done had it all figured out. It may have been a surprise to others, amen, that God had a plan. So if you're taken aback this morning and you feel like you're caught off guard, amen, don't let the enemy make you feel like God has left you in this place, because God has something greater in mind than what you're experiencing in the moment. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and say, it goes beyond now. It goes beyond now, but God's working, and he's already woven it into your future. Oh God, my future is in his hands, not in my hands. When I put my future in my hands, I self-implode. Hallelujah. But thank God for the mercy and grace of God. Hallelujah. That will bring us back. That'll pull us back when we get out of sorts. Amen. Are you with me today? It pointed to God's redemptive purposes for man. It's seeing. And so God was there in the beginning because he prophesied that it would happen. He was there in the end when they came out because he prophesied that they wouldn't stay there. Hallelujah. Amen. So The question is, hallelujah, God's sovereignty, amen, is seeing God's sovereignty in the middle. That's where it can be a struggle. God has dealt with me about that. Amen. As we prepare for the message, because I knew Purim was coming up. And I thought, God, I could teach and do and preach. And, you know, there's so much you could go from in the, amen, in out of the book of Esther and the story, amen, of Purim. But God began to speak to me about the middle. See, it's when you're in the middle, because you see God in the beginning, amen, and you certainly see him when it's all over with, amen, but it's somewhere in the middle. It's in between the beginning and the end that we struggle to see God's sovereignty, because you see, usually in the middle, that's when things are quiet. That's when things, amen, we don't see, amen, we can't comprehend what God is doing, and we don't see validity of his presence. Sometimes there's not even a word. We call out to heaven and we don't get a response back. Amen. Are you with me? We lift our hands in praise, but we don't feel a breakthrough. We don't feel a release. Amen. Praise God. But as we've been preaching, amen, by God's divine hand, the past several weeks, hallelujah, you are seen. Amen. You are heard. Amen. Last week, you are remembered. This week, I want somebody to know that you are protected. That God is not going to be there in the beginning and then be there at the end and not be somewhere in the middle. You may not see him. You may not hear him. You may not feel him. You may not understand. Hallelujah. But he is in the middle. Hallelujah. It's a time. Amen. Often he seems silent when we're in the middle. Now Esther was the niece of Mordecai. Now keep in mind that they had been taken into captivity into Babylon. So they are now, amen, captive in Babylon. And Esther is the niece of Mordecai. Her Hebrew given name was Hadassah, which means myrtle, meaning the myrtle tree. Amen. Her Hebrew given name was Hadassah, but Esther was her Gentile name that was given to her in exile. We understand that, amen, that the word Esther, the Gentile word Esther, is equivalent to Astarte, amen, to Ishtar, and to Asheroth, also known as Easter. Now, those were very, amen, those were goddesses, amen, of sexual production, and they were goddesses that were worshipped, amen, that were, amen, worshipped by, amen, the Babylonians. And so she was given that name, amen, Esther, out of that. But we know that the same letters in the name Esther, amen, in Hebrew is read, amen, Esatar. Amen. So when you look at those letters in Hebrew, Esatar, it means, it literally translates to mean, I will conceal. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so even though the enemy was trying to change her identity, God said, I'm done ahead of you, Esther. I've already got a plan. I'm concealed. You're not going to see it now, but when the time comes, amen. Why does God conceal? In order to reveal. He doesn't conceal anything without the intent to reveal it. So if you feel like you're being, something's being withheld from you today, don't think that God is denying you or neglecting you, but he's concealing, amen, in order to reveal it. Now, when he reveals it, is up to him. Amen. We know that Ahasuerus was the king, amen, of Babylon. Praise God. And he had a queen. His wife's name was Vashti. Amen. And Vashti was invited. King Ahasuerus was celebrating. Amen. He was a little drunk. Amen. And he sent word to Queen Vashti. Amen. Invited her to come to the party, to the celebration, because he wanted to show off her beauty. He wanted to be, amen, to, in pride, to show off her her beauty. Well, amen, she refused the invitation, amen, to that feast. And because of that, amen, in his drunken stupor, amen, the king exiled her, amen, and as a result, long story short, a little Jewish girl by the name of Esther became queen in her place. And so now, amen, out of procedure and process, amen, Esther was chosen to be queen, but her Jewish identity was concealed. It was kept secret from the king. Now, there was a man named Haman who was, amen, the king's chief head of government. He had just recently been promoted, amen, and raised up in that office. Hallelujah. Haman was a wicked man. But Haman became angry because he wanted everyone to bow, amen, to him because of his elevated status. Because he was now the chief head, amen, of the government for the king. He wanted that respect. Well, Mordecai, being a Jew, being a worshiper of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knew the word that you should not bow to any other image or idol. No other person or man is worthy to be bowed to and honored. Amen. He refused to bow to, amen, Haman. This caused Haman to become angry. Amen. It challenged his authority and it also humiliated him. So he set out a plot, not only to eliminate Mordecai, but let's just exterminate all of his people. Let's get rid of all of the Jews. That was Haman's thinking. And we see over a course of time, as you can read the details of the story, that Haman, amen, persuaded the king to issue a decree to annihilate the Jewish people. Now, listen, he convinced him that they did not obey his laws, and it was his best interest to get rid of them. Understand that the king did not know Haman's intentions. He did not know the motive behind, amen, Haman's plot or suggestion. And furthermore, he did not know the identity of Esther. So he did not know, amen, that the reason Haman was coming was to satisfy his own flesh. But second of all, amen, he did not know that his very queen was now a Jew. And so he signed a decree to exterminate, to annihilate, to completely wipe, amen, the Jews off of their map. Amen. And so we know Haman cast lots, or Pur, amen, which is why it's called Purim, because he cast lots, or what we would say rolled dice, amen, because he needed to get the date, amen, set for this extermination. So he cast the lots, and this is where he got, amen, the dates, amen, amen, the 14th, the 13th day of the month. He was going to, amen, annihilate them. And this is where he got the date. So now it had been set, the 13th day of the month of Adar. Amen. He was going to, amen, kill all the Jews. Now, of course, amen, Mordecai and the Jews, once they learned of this decree, they began mourning, right? Wouldn't you? You would mourn if you thought, amen, knew that the date had been set, amen, that you were going to be killed. Here you are, amen, in exile in Babylon, right? By the divine providence of God. There was nothing they could do about it. They were there. They were there for the duration. They weren't going anywhere. So there was nowhere for them to go and nothing for them to do but to surrender to the king's decree. Can I tell you this morning, when you're in that place and you feel like you're stuck and you can't go out of that place, because it is the divine will of God that you be in that wilderness. It was the divine will of God that you, amen, operate in that season. Amen. And you cannot leave it. If you leave it, you're coming out of the will of God. And the enemy will come and he will try to convince us, amen, that we are destined to be, amen, defeated. But I come to remind somebody today that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That there is not a weapon formed that will prosper against you as long as you are in covenant of right standing with the Creator. Hallelujah. Because your inheritance says you shall live and not die. That you will be the head and not the tail. That you'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. And if I could paraphrase an ad, blessed in the middle. Hallelujah. Somewhere in the middle, hallelujah, you're going to see the hand of God. Hallelujah. Touch somebody and say, don't fight the middle. Hallelujah. Don't fight the middle. Because somewhere in the beginning, between the beginning and the end, God is there. And Mordecai appealed to Esther and her position as king to go before the king. A lot of you know this story. We're cutting a lot of details this morning. For the sake of time, he appealed to Esther and her position as king, as queen, to go before the king. And I want you to notice something. He said to her, if you remain silent, deliverance will come from another place. For some reason, that struck a chord with me this year, this time. All the times that I've read that, and I had that that verse 14 that we read to you, where he says that, amen, it is highlighted in my Bible, and every sentence is underlined, amen, and there's notes all around it, and post-it notes, amen, stuck on that page, but for some reason, that stuck out to me, amen, as I was looking at this, because you see, it's interesting that God is not mentioned one time anywhere in the book of Esther. We know that God's name is not mentioned, and there's not a reference to God in the book of Esther, amen. This passage, and it just struck me this year, amen, this time around reading it, amen, that this passage is the only one that alludes to him. That when you know him, and you know that he works while you're in the middle, even though you don't see him, you don't feel him, you don't, you have no, amen, indication that God is working, amen, or doing anything to make the circumstances different, hallelujah. When you see Mordecai says, amen, to her, if you hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. I can paraphrase that and say, if you don't trust God and you don't allow God to use you in the middle of these circumstances, he's going to raise up somebody else. Why? Because God's not going to forsake his people. He done said that we're going to come out of this exile. I don't like it here. I don't like how it feels. I don't like the environment. I don't like being pulled away from what I'm comfortable with. But God said this is not going to last. And it's already been prophesied that we're going to come out of this. Hallelujah. So if you don't do it, Esther, he'll find someone who will. So although he's not mentioned, we see his hand working. Right? We know this about the story of Esther. And the reason Esther was hesitant, because according to the law, she could die for going before the king unrequested. If she was not summoned by him and she wanted to request it to meet with the king without an invitation from him, that could warrant her death. But she said, okay, for such time as this, maybe I'm here, stuck in the middle, for such a time as this. If I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. It is what it is. She said, but have the people fast for 3 days. Amen. She called a fast to cover her as she approached the king. Hallelujah. I believe this fast. Amen. That fasting gave Esther faith. Amen. To know that God would protect her as she went in before the king. Amen. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. To show the humility. Amen. Unto God that here we are. We're willing. Amen. We don't believe that we have to suffer and die here in this place. Amen. And so the Bible tells us the story goes that she called for Haman and the king, amen, to come to a feast. And there at the feast, she revealed her true identity. She revealed that she definitely was a Jew. But then the next night, she called a second one, amen, and called for them, requested for them to come. And at the second feast, amen, the next night, she revealed the plot to the king to kill her and her people. So she exposes Haman as he is sitting there. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Haman as Esther is talking about this plan? Amen. Now you know that I'm a Jew. And now this decree that's been set out is set out to destroy my people and me. And the king said, well, who would devise such a plan? And she said, him right there, the wicked Haman. Haman is the one, amen, that has set that plot. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, hallelujah, that the king became angry. Hallelujah, that he wanted, and now his orders was for Haman to be hanged. But you see, in the process, hallelujah, Haman had built gallows to hang Mordecai on. Amen. And so, amen, the gallows were already built, amen, for the destruction of Haman. Amen. But the king ordered, praise God, for Haman to be hung on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai, amen, to be, amen, executed. Hallelujah. He planned, see, to betray the king's trust. Now, that night, though, here we go. That night prior, hallelujah, to that, after the first banquet, the king could not sleep, and he got up, and he began to look in the king's chronicles, amen, in the records, and he realized that someone, amen, had kept him from being poisoned. There was an assassination plot against the king, and somebody had stopped, amen, and foiled that plan to kill him, but they had never been recognized or honored, and that person happened to be Mordecai. So when the king met with Haman the next morning, he's having a conversation with Haman, and he says, Haman, what do you think we should do? I should do as a king to honor a man who deserves honor. And Haman, in his pride, thought, well, he's talking about me, because he just promoted me, amen, to the chief head of the government. And so Haman said, I think you should put on, amen, royal garments, and you should put him on a royal horse, and he should be paraded through the city and be honored. And the king said, so shall it be. Hallelujah. And he said, go get Mordecai, put a king's garment on him, put him on a royal horse, and you lead him around the city. Hallelujah. So now here's Haman, hallelujah, with the one that he had plotted to kill, that he had plotted to execute. He had built the gallows. Now here he is leading him around on a horse through the city, telling all the people the king honors this man. I will tell you what the enemy meant for evil in your life. God will turn it around and make it for good. You don't have to hunt the devil down and be a demon hunter. God has got you. Are you hearing me? And God will make the enemy be your footstool. Are you hearing me today? Hallelujah. Imagine the anger in Haman as he's leading Mordecai around on this royal horse. Now that night, Haman was exposed, and then he was hung on those gallows. God reversed, took the very thing that the enemy had created to take out Mordecai and used it to defeat the enemy.
Yes, he did.
God will reverse what the enemy has set in motion. If you only knew what the enemy set out, how he set out to stop us that are in fellowship with God from drawing any closer. His whole goal is to separate us from God. If he can keep us from realizing the goodness of God, he will be successful in causing us to be discouraged. And so, God literally took what the enemy meant and he reversed it. Esther chapter 9, verse 22 says he literally turned their sorrow into joy and their mourning into a holiday. So touch your neighbor and say it's about to turn. Lord, I do that with everything that's into this place. I feel that, amen. Some of you may not be with me and not be hearing me, but not feel that. But I feel that this morning for somebody. God's about to turn it, amen. You look at what you're dealing with right now and think, how could God, amen, so many questions. Our friend, I see family members of her, of hers on Facebook, amen, writing in grief and sorrow over the loss, amen, of her 28-year-old son and this tragedy. And they're saying, how, amen, can God, amen, allow things like this? How can there be anything, amen, good out of this? And you simply got to trust the goodness of God. Amen. Because our idea of good is not the same as God's ideal for good. Because sometimes what God means for good doesn't always feel good and doesn't always sound good. Amen. It isn't always pleasant. But when it's all said and done, amen, it's for the good. Amen. To further, amen, that relationship and that fellowship, amen, that we can have with him, amen. So he's about to turn your sorrow into joy. How could God take mourning and turn it into a holiday? But here they are one day, hallelujah, knowing that they're about to die, knowing that they're about to be annihilated, and there's nowhere to go. They can't leave. They're within the bounds of the kingdom, and there's nowhere to go, and they're about to die. But then all of a sudden, amen, they fasted for 3 days, and Mordecai says to them, fast, because Esther's going to go in, and she's going to try to, amen, plead before the king on our behalf. They had no idea what was going to happen, but here they come out of that fast. Are you hearing me? Not knowing what was going to happen. Amen. Still, amen, the date had been set. Can I tell you, the enemy's got it written. He's got it set. The demise that he has set for you, your family, your children, your marriage, your home, your mind, your health. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. There's a healer in the atmosphere. I feel Jehovah Rapha right here in the midst. There's a healer in the atmosphere. Now listen to me this morning. Amen. He's got it set. But then all of a sudden, they get word. Amen. The decree has been reversed. You're not going to die. That God has taken your sorrow and he's turned it into joy. And now he's going to take all the tears that you've shed since you heard about this. this decree. And he's going to make a holiday. He's going to make a festival out of it. So that every year, no matter what's happened in your life, on March, hallelujah, 14th, amen, God's going to remind you that even though you don't see me, even though you don't feel me, even though it looks like I have withdrawn my hands, I'm already behind the scenes working on your behalf. So go ahead and rejoice, because all the tears that you have reaped, amen, you will sow in, you will reap. Enjoy all the tears you have sown in mourning. You're going to reap in joy. He's going to turn your mourning into dancing. Take off, amen, that coat of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. I don't know who the Lord is talking to today, but I feel like punching a wall. I feel like punching something. Hallelujah. I feel that in me. God's going to take what you're going through and make it a holiday. That this time next year, you'll be celebrating instead of mourning. You say, no way, watch and see. If God cannot take what the enemy meant to bring you out and take you out and reverse it and flip it upside down and make it for your good. Mark it on your calendar. Are you hearing me today? I'm trying to finish. God was seemingly silent. Now touch a neighbor and say, it's not what it seems. You say, I'm touching an awful lot of my neighbors today. I'm sorry, I hope you washed your hands. And if you didn't, plead the blood of Jesus. I need somebody to hear it twice. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. We've said before, scientifically, when you hear something, the same thing three times, your mind begins to process it as reality. So you hear me say it, and you hear your neighbor say it. Now, who's left? You. I said it, your neighbor said it to you, now you say it. Start believing it. Are you hearing me? It's not what it seems. God created our minds in this intricate, intelligent way to process it. Faith comes by simply hearing. Whatever you hear, you have the propensity to believe it. So if you hear anxiety and destruction and fear enough, that's where your faith is going to be. But there's only two choices. Lord, help Jesus. Why am I saying this today? This has got me in trouble before. But there's only two choices. There's only two things to believe in. God or the devil. When you come to spiritual side, we're studying faith in our Bible study on Thursday nights. Amen. We're about 3 weeks into it. Amen. And here's what you've got to understand. Faith is not an explicit God thing. Everyone is born with the intellectual ability, with the propensity to believe. It's when you step into God's covenant salvation that now your faith becomes in God and everything that God says. So faith comes by hearing, period. You hear someone tell you you're worthless enough times, you believe that. Your faith is now in the fact that you believe you are worthless. And so now you gotta get your mind transformed and delivered to believe that that's not the truth. So faith comes by hearing, period, period. But what makes the difference is what we hear. hearing by the word of God. So when you hear the word of God, that's what you can begin to put your faith in. Of course, we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How can they hear unless they have a preacher? How can a preacher preach unless he be sent? God ain't dumb. He got all that worked out. So faith comes by hearing. What you need to hear is the word of God. What you need to hear is the truth. What you need to hear is that which is going to grow you. What you need to hear is that which is going to bring you. Because listen to me, listen to me, listen, Linda. She's here today. Thank you, Linda. Listen, Linda. The enemy wants you to believe that God has a greater use for your life than what it is now. Too many things, my past, and too many things I've done and undone and done and undone. Just too much, right? So we get to that place that God was seemingly quiet in the middle of this situation, and he left his people to fight on their own. This is not your battle. Now touch your neighbor and say, it ain't your battle. Are you hearing what the Lord is saying to you? It ain't your battle. It's not your battle. And he seemingly looked like he left it, but his hand was upon them the whole time, protecting them, covering them, knowing that the enemy was not going to get the upper hand. Would you understand where God is seated? And he's got you. The Bible says we have been carved in the palm of his hand. The very essence. And where God is and where the enemy is, God's always got the upper hand. He's always got the upper hand over your life. The enemy is under your feet. Are you hearing me? But God's got the upper hand. And God's hand was upon them, protecting them. Amen. And what seemed like was going to be, hallelujah, a doom, amen, and an impossible thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. They might have thought they were going to get word back that Esther had been exiled, that Esther had been killed, amen, because she went in before the king uninvited, amen. Who knows what the enemy told them. Probably said, not going to do you any good to fast, right? Because that's what he tells you. Won't do you no good to pray. Not going to do you any good to read anymore. Not going to do you any good to go to church today. Not going to do you any good to believe or lift your head. Why are you doing all that? Look where it's at, because you're stuck in the middle. You're right. I want to say stuck. You're in the middle. You're in between the beginning and the end. God was there in the beginning. He was there in the end, but he's there. There in the middle. It's just silent. Hallelujah. Praise God. That you're seeing. That you're seeing there. That it's all part of God's divine providence. And for some of you, because of where you are in your middle, you're clueless to what I'm even talking about. You don't even really know what's going on over there. Maybe some of you didn't even know. And for some of you, you don't care. Let's be real. Let's be transparent. Let's be honest. No, I don't believe we should be that flippant about it. But we can't allow ourselves to lose sight of God's protection. And for some of you, God's protecting you from relationships and from situations. You feel like you've been cut off and you've been denied, and it feels like that the bottom has fallen out, and you're just out there in the middle of nowhere, and you don't know which way to go, which way to turn, but suddenly everything has just changed and come to a halt. I want you to hear God this morning. You are protected. And his hand is working on your behalf behind the scenes to establish your goings and establish the victory to where when it ends, you will see him just as you did in the beginning. In the middle, I'm learning that the middle may never make sense. But I'm also learning that this side of my brain that likes to analyze stuff and needs for stuff to make sense and likes to pick apart and dissect and find the reasons for this and for that and why this and why that. Sometimes God just says, come over to the right side. Where it doesn't have to make sense. You just have to trust what I'm saying is truth. I believe that's why Jesus spoke a lot in parables. Think about when he came to the Samaritan woman, right? And asked her for water. She already decided who she was, who he was, a Jew and a Samaritan, and they should not have any doings. But Jesus said to her, he said, well, here's the thing, honey. He'd say, honey, but I sit here a lot. And at work, I'm like, I need to stop calling these. I tell my coworkers, help me not to call these customers dear, because I don't know, you know. I'm an old guy, and you're like, it's a habit. But anyway, what he says to her, he said, hey, here's the thing. I'm paraphrasing. You think you know who I am, but if you knew who I really was, you would have asked me for a drink. You're dumb. So I can use you. Okay. She came into his presence like that because she felt like, right? That separation, there was not allowed to be anything. And Jesus appealed to that right side of her brain. Some of you are like, what in the world are you talking about brain? God created it. Jesus was there, right? So instead of saying, yeah, I know, really, we're not supposed to talk here, and I know that, yeah, I know all the rules, I know all of that. But instead, in that moment, he did this. If you knew who I was. So he's got her to change her focus. To look at him in a different way. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? To consider on that right side of her brain that this truth that she believed over here and analyzed it may not be the case. So now you've piqued my interest, kind sir. So, and at the end of that, she goes and says, come in. Right? He says, go. And she's like, listen, then he gets to talking about her religion and about where her fathers feel like they should worship and where you, your people are. And he says, listen, there's coming a time when, look at me. I can see, like, look at me. There's coming a time when none of that's going to matter. Because anybody that worships God is going to have to worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, it's all going to be for one purpose and one thing. And you're looking at it.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying? So sometimes when God leaves us in the middle like that, he's just lifting up our head. And David said he is the lifter of my head. And he's just saying,
I just want you to see me in a different way. It's not what you think. It's not what you feel. It's what I'm telling you. It's the truth. He's got you protected. And he's going to bring you through. And there's a promotion waiting. And the whole goal is to renew your relationship and your fellowship with him. As they come to the music, you sing for me across this place. So tomorrow morning or Tuesday morning, I think for here and for us in our time, I think it's somewhere between like 6:04 and 7:05, something like that, that you should be able to see that full blood moon. And so if you happen to be able to go out, and as you look up, keep in mind, see, God had that alignment in place thousands of years ago. I believe that. And if he didn't, he would stop it just on your behalf. He had the sun staying still for Hezekiah, remember? So, as you look up, remember, it's not what it seems. And that God has got you protected. You're seen, you're heard, you're remembered, and you're protected. God's preparing you for your promotion. So as they get ready to worship, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you're lost. You haven't experienced that joy of salvation and knowing that you're free. I want to give you that opportunity to respond to that goodness of God. To respond to God's greatest gift. So that you, if you're pondering that decision, this altar is open. If you're here today, this message has pricked your heart and you feel you can relate to being somewhere in the middle. And like the story of Esther, you don't see God working. His name's not even mentioned in that book. But oh, how he's weaving his plan and his will throughout all the details. I want you to come. We want to pray with you today. So begin to worship.